Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gujarat Fluorochemicals Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Archit Joshi from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining the 4Q FY23 and FY23 earnings conference call of Gujarat Fluorochemicals. Thank the management on behalf of B&K Securities for giving us the opportunity to host this call. We have with us today Dr. Bir Kapoor, CEO, Mr. V.K. Soni, Head of Projects and New Initiatives, Mr. Manoj Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vibhu Agarwal, Head of Investor Relations. Without further ado, I'll request Dr. Bir Kapoor to begin with his opening remarks, after which we'll have the floor open for questions. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Archit. Good evening, everyone. This is Bir Kapoor. A very warm welcome to all of you on this GFL's quarter four FY23 and FY23 annual earnings call. The company announced its quarter four results at its board meeting held today. The results, along with the earnings presentation, is available on the stock exchange and also on your website. I'll briefly touch upon the numbers and then give you an update on the business operations and future outlook. The company reported a consolidated revenue of 5,685 crores for the year ended March 2023, and rupees 1,471 crore for the quarter ended March 2023, which is up by 44% and 37% respectively on year-on-year basis. Consolidated EBITDA for the FY23 was rupees 2,047 crore, and for quarter four FY23, it was 529 crores, up by 71% and 60% respectively on year-on-year basis. The EBITDA margins continue to remain healthy and close to 36% for FY23 and for quarter FY23 as well. Quarter four FY23 as well. Consolidated PAT for FY23 was 1,323 crore, and for quarter four FY23, this was 332 crores, up by 71% and 52% respectively on year-on-year basis. ROCE and ROE improved to 34% and 27% for the financial year 2023, and 24.5% and 20.1% for FY22 respectively. The net debt to equity ratio have reduced to 0.23. It has been an extremely satisfying and a rewarding year for us. We are happy with our efforts, and the same is showcased in the numbers. We have been investing in capacity building, which has yielded rich dividend for us. In the recent years, our focus has been on new fluoropolymers, where we are adding capacity to almost 1,300 to 1,500 tons by quarter one in the coming financial year. As with most of the investments, the new CapEx that we put in takes almost a year post-commercialization to realize the full potential in revenue terms. These new capacity would give us the optimum revenue by FY23 when it will be fully utilized. Similarly, in the battery chemicals CapEx, what we are putting in now should realize the full revenue after almost a year when it's commercialized. This year and the year after, we expect the growth to be fueled by new fluoropolymers, and we are already in the process of commercializing our new growth driver, which is battery chemical segment. which should help us maintain the healthy growth for the next few years. We are building this large chemical company from India, which is competing with global giants and now primarily focusing on the sunrise industry sectors, be it EV, solar, hydrogen, 5G in telecom, semiconductors, and energy storage system, among others. As we are export-oriented, especially in our fluoropolymer segments, the global macro environment play a major role in our business environment. Now, let me quickly take you through the performance of each of our business segment for the quarter. To begin with, let me talk about the bulk chemicals. This segment has seen a quarter-on-quarter revenue decline of 17%, which is primarily led by the drop in the prices, which is in line with our view of the prices to be under pressure due to additional supplies in the market. The fluorochemical segment has done well, mainly on account of the refrigerants. Going forward, we expect the refrigerant to be slightly subdued in quarter 1 FY24, and the new fluorochemical plants are gradually ramping up production and expected to contribute to increased revenue in the upcoming quarters. In the fluoropolymer business, the volumes have remained stable during the quarters. However, the prices have corrected marginally. In addition to the debottlenecking of PTFE capacity, creation of new additional capacities of new fluoropolymers are on course. We have some plant shutdowns during quarter one, and we expect the demand fundamentals for fluoropolymers to be robust because of growing demand from new and emerging sectors. Let me now briefly touch upon the future growth drivers. The fluoropolymer segments should keep providing us the growth momentum. Beyond the current capacity that we are in, we are optimistic on new fluoropolymers like PVDF, PFA, FKM that are critical for the industries like EV, solar, and semicon. In battery chemical space, we are looking at the entire bouquet of battery chemicals, including electrolytes. We expect to get our electrolyte plant to get commercialized by quarter 2 of this financial year. And we are working with a major battery manufacturer to provide them with electrolyte matching to the requirement. And this segment is progressing well and as per our plans. We are continuing to look forward and focus on potential long-term growth drivers. As communicated earlier, we are progressing well on some of the new development areas like PEM for hydrogen fuel cells and electrolyzers. We expect to build the new business based on these developments in near future. With the growth opportunities before us, we are also strengthening our infrastructure for future growth, including new site for future expansion. At the end, I would like to emphasize that with emerging sunrise sectors in energy transition space and semicon growth, we see a substantial opportunity for fluoropolymers, fluoromaterials, and battery chemicals. We are well prepared in terms of the product portfolio as well as capacity building capability to capture this growth opportunity. With this, I would like to thank you all and would like to open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Harsh Shah from HSBC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a great quarter and a strong year end. First question is on the business mix. If you see your fluoropolymers division, earlier you used to give the breakup between PTFE evaluated and the new fluoropolymers. As on Q4 FY20, it was almost 46% of the business, and even in this quarter end, it is 49% of the business. So as a mix, it has not changed a lot. But you means the fluorochemicals as a business has grown quite rapidly from almost an 18-20% business mix to now almost one third of the business. A large part of that has to do with ref gas prices shooting up. So my first question is, what is the visibility or what is the outlook on ref gases for next year, and how like where do you see the business mix changing for next year?
Yes, Harsh, thanks for your question. The way we see it now is that we expect the ref gas prices to remain stable, and demand may appear to be a little bit subdued in Q1 FY24. However, the prices we expect to remain stable going forward. Okay. So this is the so you are right, the revenue which is coming in the vertical of fluorochemicals is primarily contributed by the ref gas compared to the previous quarters or the year that you're seeing.
And in terms of next year, 16 right now, as on Q4, 16% is bulk chemicals, one third is fluorochemicals, and 50% is fluoropolymers of your business. How do you see the business mix shaping up for next year? I mean, it's okay if it moves here and there because of some pricing, but in general, where do you see the business mix going up?
See, as we as I said in my opening statement, we are focusing in the coming years, this year and as well as the next year, our growth is going to come from fluoropolymers primarily, due to the investment that we have made in the sector. So we expect the fluoropolymer revenue to go up. Okay. There's a marginal correction here and there, which we said because of the pricing, which has corrected marginally from its peak position in the earlier quarter. We expect the fluoropolymer segment to grow as we go along.
Understood. And my second question is, can you just help us understand the breakup of your CAPEX for next year? So how much of CAPEX is going into what capacity, and also the timeline of commissioning of the projects? That will be really helpful.
Harsh, we would difficult for me to answer the specific question on capacity. However, in the CAPEX, this year our CAPEX plan is very close to 1,500 crores in the coming year, out of which we are looking at close to 1,000 crores in fluoropolymers and battery chemical space. The capacities, what we are talking about, I will not comment on that, but these investment will lead to the capacities in new fluoropolymers like FKM, PFA, and PVDF. And we expect most of these capacities to come online by Q1 and Q2. However, the capacity utilization, which will reflect in revenue, will take several quarters from there on, okay? Because it takes, it's a long cycle of product development and then eventually get the capacity utilized, okay? So we expect to see that in FY25 fully utilized.
Sure. And that was very helpful. And just last thing, in terms of margin, where do you see margin stabilizing for us going forward for full year FY24? If I remove the seasonalities or quarter-to-quarter movement, for full FY24, where do you see the margins going from here?
As we have always said that, you know, our target is to have margin around 30%, and we expect it to continue. at 30% plus. This is what we look forward to.
Understood. Thank you very much for answering all the questions. Thank you and all the very best.
Thanks, Harsh. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a few of them. First, on the ramp up of the new fluoropolymer, I think we added few capacity in Q3 and Q4, and we are planning to add few more capacity over next two quarters, if I understand right from your previous statement. And if I look at the fluoropolymer revenue growth over last three quarters, it has broadly remained stable. I understand there is some amount of price decline. But how should one build a ramp up and considering the capacity we have added, at the peak, what should be the fluoropolymer revenue, assuming that the prices remain stable at these levels? I know we cannot take a call on prices. So assuming the prices remain where they are today, what will be the peak revenue from the capacity which we have put up and which we are putting up in the next two quarters, all put together, what should the revenue yield be? That's my first question.
So, thanks, Ajish. Thanks for your question. First of all, it's difficult to give the number on the revenue because it depends on prices. However, as you said, that if I take the same pricing as in now, what do we see? Where is it going? So, we see it almost, as you said, our growth is going to come from fluoropolymers, so which is approximately 20% from where we are. So, that's where we see 1,000 crore plus. Going in fluoropolymers when these capacity get fully utilized.
1,000 crore plus per quarter.
Oh, this is for the annual, I said, not per quarter.
No, we are already at 700 crores for the fluoropolymer as we speak in this quarter, right? 720 odd crores of fluoropolymer revenue in this quarter.
Yes, sorry, I misunderstood, Sanjesh. It's going to be... from the quarter perspective, it will at least cross 1,000 crores, 1,000 to 1,200 crores in fluoropolymers.
1,000 to 1,200 crores of quarterly revenue, we will be able to cross it with all the capacities which we intend. And this will be visible in the FY25 as the ramp-up will take the time. That's the right understanding.
Sanjesh, also what you should look at is the current capacity that we have today. Today, we are almost at 1,100 odd tons per month. Okay, this will go up to, as we have guided earlier, to 1,300 to 1,500 by Q1. There's further additions happening throughout the year. Accordingly, next year, the ramp-up would happen and the revenues would go up. We cannot guide anything further than that. So you can build up as 1,100 today, going up to 1,300 to 1,500 by Q1. By end of the year, you should be in a ballpark figure of 1,700 to 1,900 tons per month.
Fair enough.
For polymers.
On the polymer side. And the PTFE capacity addition of 3,000 metric ton of the debottlenecking which we were planning, when should that come?
That should come probably by the end of mid of this year, probably third quarter of this financial year.
Okay, third quarter of this financial year. Do we plan to add more on the PTFE because 3M opportunity still remains there and...
what's happening in 3M, Sanjay, is that, you know, as you know, they will remain in operation till the end of 24.
Correct.
Beginning of 25. So actual capacity of volumes going out of the market is still almost 1.5 years away. So what our expectation is that although we are seeing some tailwinds in terms of, you know, customer approach and product qualification level, but we'll see its impact on our volume probably from the beginning of next year.
Are we planning to add more capacity in PTFE to cater that? Or
it depends, Sanjesh. We can always add, but we'll see how the business progresses. That's all we can say.
Got it. On the battery chemical side, one of your peer has announced a partnership with a Japanese company on making solution, and it looks like they're progressing to add a very large capacity on electrolyte solution. How are we looking at on the battery chemical business, both from the electrolyte salt as well as solution business? How prepared are we to capitalize on this opportunity?
As I said in my, again, in my opening statement that we are very well poised. In fact, we are very well prepared. Our electrolyte plant would be ready in Q2. And also, we are in the final stages of commissioning of our salt plant. So I think we are very well positioned to capture that. We'll have our own electrolyte plant, and we will be engaging with customers and fulfilling their requirement based on the formulation provided by them.
When should we see the revenues coming for battery chemical? Will it be in 24 or will it be in 25?
We expect the revenue mostly to come in 25 because the qualification time in battery chemicals is very long, Sanjish. Sometime it could be almost, 4 to 6 months because it's a sector where qualification times are very long. So full in terms of impact on the revenue of battery chemical, I'd probably start seeing it from the next financial year.
Two bookkeeping questions, last from my side. One on the caustic chloromethane, we had a 17% sequential decline. Did we have any long-term contract benefit and the full impact of the lower prices we will see in the next quarter? And if you, or you can just help us understand what is the exit month revenue annualized. So do you think there is scope for another 50 crore kind of a decline from these levels, adjusting for the current prices? That's number one. Number two, on the net debt, sequentially, despite us receiving 650 crores from the related party, the net debt seems to be flattish on a YOY basis. The working capital looks like has again inched up a little bit. We have improved from the back to previous year, but this quarter it again looks like we have inched up. So how should one look at the deleveraging of the balance sheet from the net debt perspective? These are two questions. Thank you.
Let me answer, Sanjesh, the first part of your question, which is related to the bulk chemical, caustic, etc. As far as the pricing are concerned, we believe that the pricing is pretty much at the bottom level and don't expect it to go down further. We don't have any long-term contracts, so we do not see any impact in terms of so we will probably be following the market, however it goes. But we do not expect it to go down further. Okay. Coming back to your second question regarding sort of deleveraging the balance sheet and the question on the working capital, I'll invite Manoj Agarwal to answer that question, please. Manoj.
Yeah, hi, Sanjesh. This on the working capital side, if you remember, we were trading at around 155 days of working capital. Which we have brought it down to 120 days, which has now got inched up to around 8 days, again to 128 days. This is essentially because of lag effect of the inventories which we are building up for the new capacities and certain new sales in the new regions and new customers. So that is because of that only. So we expect that it will, as the sales pick up from the all this new product profile and new customer profile, it will be able to contain it again at the same level. Our target remains at 120 days.
Got it. One last question, sorry, I forgot on the pricing side on the fluoropolymer, we have seen slight decline. This is more to do with lower demand in the Europe, so the prices are falling down, or it's more of a lower power price and the input cost falling. What has driven the sequential drop in the fluoropolymer prices?
Another thing is that if you look at the history, fluoropolymers were at the peak at the very high prices, and there's some marginal correction that is going on. From the volume perspective, we do not see much of an impact, which is, again, since there are some seasonal issues also maybe there, here and there. But other than that, we don't see much of a change.
So you expect more price dip from the current level, or how is it? Because we talk about this price being very high.
I See, there might be a minor correction, but we don't see a very significant deviation from where they are. And again, it depends from product to product. It's a fluoropolymer itself is a very large bouquet, and there are polymers which are for very high-end applications and versus polymer which are, it depends on the, but overall as a bouquet, we do not see it changing very much. Maybe a marginal correction going forward.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering all my questions, and best of luck for the coming quarter.
Thanks, Sanjesh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Nagraj. Your voice is breaking up, sir. Mr. Rohit, your line is breaking up, sir. Is he able to hear me?
Yeah. Is this better?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. My first question is on the guarantees part. So we have received the advances. How about the guarantees? And a similar aspect from the balance sheet perspective, the other current assets have gone down from about 1,000 crores to 600 crores. So I believe that since we have received the money, probably it would have gone down. So what are the leftover non-current assets of about 600 crores? Thank you.
Yeah. See, as regard to guarantees, corporate guarantees are concerned, we have already started pulling it down, reducing it down on quarter-on-quarter basis. See, we are well on track, and we see that reduction continuous basis as we go along. And as regard to even quality of guarantees also, it has never got invoked or triggered. So that is one more point you need to note before much worrying about the quantum of the corporate guarantees. So that is one. As regard to your other current assets, there is a bouquet of number of items. So that I can tell you afterwards once we will work out separately.
Sure. Thank you. Sir, second question is on the electrolyte salt and electrolytes. So based on current capacity and pricing, what is the kind of peak revenue potential that to be envisaged from the electrolyte salts?
Rohit, it's a sort of difficult to answer because we already indicated capacities on the salt earlier. But revenue, because if you look at today, the lithium prices, because the salt prices are linked to lithium prices, okay, and there has been a very significant change, and there's a lot of volatility in salt prices, okay, it's anywhere from $13 to $45, and it was almost at the peak, $60, so it's a very large volatility, so it would be very difficult for me to answer the future revenue expectation from this. It all depends on the lithium prices and what demand.
Right, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Viral Shah from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question was, if I look at the consolidated cash flow statement, the capital expenditure comes out to 675 crores, whereas in the presentation that number is close to 1350 crores. So is this differential of 675 crores largely the transfer from advances to CWIP for the wind project, or is there something else? How should we look at that?
So look at the final computation of the cash flow, it has to be net of capital advances. So any decrease in capital advances is an actual capex outlay. Actual capex outlay is 1350 roughly. Net of capital advances which got reduced because of receipt of refund from wind from 625 crores. So that is net is reflected in the cash flow statement.
Okay. So would it be fair to say that 675 crores were towards the wind and 675 crores was towards all of the fluorochemicals and fluoropolymers Is that the right understanding?
Correct.
Okay. So in the coming year, out of this 1500 crores of capex that we've guided, how much would be towards wind and how much would be towards the chemicals business?
No wind in this. This is
so out of the advances, I meant.
No, out of the advances which we have, wind has repaid us around 675 crores. So the residual advances which we have already taken in our earlier capex plan, the capex plan which we have guided for the future financial years is mostly on the chemical side.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Anshul Thakkar from Lalkar Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations on another spectacular quarter and finishing off the year so well. So my first question is that the media had recently commented on a path-breaking invention in membrane technology, which is expected to reduce the production cost of green hydrogen. This was at the CSMCRI at Bhavnagar. I just wanted to know, what role will GFCL solar and green hydrogen products play in this?
Yeah, I would request Mr. Soni to answer this, please.
See, we have, our GFCL is working on two type of proton exchange membranes, PEM. One is for electrolyzers, which is a sulfuric acid membrane, and the other one is for fuel cell. So the effort is to reduce the cost of the electrolyzer membrane because that contributes largely to green hydrogen output. So there we are working very actively with another Indian institute to develop it.
So I understand that there has been some transfer of technology for whatever transacted amount. So does that mean that essentially now this technology belongs to us?
Yeah, actually we have a transfer of technology from ONGC, and that is on the lab scale, and we are now developing it further on pilot scale and thereafter on prototype commercial scale. And we have the full rights for it.
So that means, sir, we will be now present in two of the four forms of green hydrogen manufacturing. Am I right?
Which are the four ones you said?
So I understand, sir, there's PEM, fuel cell, and there are two other forms of green hydrogen manufacturing. But essentially, this particular technology transfer is for green hydrogen through fuel cell, and as well as we already exist in the PEM.
No, actually, I'll explain again. There are only two applications of PEM. One is for electrolyzer for making green hydrogen, and other is for mobility sector for converting the hydrogen into by using fuel cell for creating electricity. So we are in both the sectors. In one sector, we have tied up with ONGC. The other sector, we are developed our own technology.
Got it, sir. So my second question was particularly for the LiPF6. So is it possible to give us some timeline with respect to, you know, where we are on the lab trials, where we are on the validation with customers, and I think the out-out commercial output you mentioned that in the introduction?
Anshul, in battery chemicals in salt, we had stated earlier that we are going to build a fully commercial salt plant, which is at the final stages of commissioning. In fact, the mechanical completion is almost done. So which we expect the salt will come out in next few months, essentially by quarter two. And after that, the salt will go for a validation and qualification stage. So we are not going through the lab stage, first of all. Okay. We have gone and decided to go ahead and straight away go for the commercial scale and build up the commercial scale plant, get it qualified, and start getting into the mode of supplying it. So that has been our approach. And depending upon the qualification period, how it gets ramped up, we will see. But we expect the commercial sales probably will happen by the third or fourth quarter of this year. essentially.
Oh, that's very encouraging, sir. And sir, just a little bit of similar detail maybe on the solar PVDF back panels and the PFA semicon products?
We are already going through the sort of a qualification stage on both of them. And in terms of the PVDF film, which is for the solar, we expect to get our plant again get commissioned by quarter two, and then we'll be making a commercial level sheet for this application. Okay, anything you want to add?
PFA.
PFA semicon is we have already developed the product, and it's again going through the various stages of qualifications.
So, sir, solar, you said Q2 of the current year, right?
Financial year, Q2, yes.
Yes, the current financial year. Great, great, sir. Thank you so much. All the best, and I look forward to the next interaction, sir.
Very quickly, Anshul, that with PFA, with semiconductor qualification happening, we are also, it's part of our new polymer portfolio, where we are adding capacity in PFA as well in this next few quarters.
Oh, okay. That's great to know, sir.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Aman Vich from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. My first set of questions is on the new fluoropolymer side. So we have added almost 300 to 400 tons per month capacity in the last 1 year. But in terms of utilization, I think it's still lacking. It's maybe at 60-70% utilization only. So if you can talk about, is there some kind of little slowdown in the last three quarters that we have not ramped up? Because we have enough capacity compared to what we are doing. As well as the questions also on the PFA semiconductor and PVDF EV. So when can we see some revenues coming in from these two products? Is it this year or next year only, FY25?
Coming back to fluoropolymer capacities, again, these are capacity addition has been in the new fluoropolymers. And as we had stated earlier, that the revenue potential of these new capacities will take some time as it gets qualified. Again, the process is a little bit complicated because there are these are sort of very specific applications where products are developed and qualified by customers, and then orders are placed. So we expect these capacities probably to get fully utilized by the end of this financial year. Okay. Now, coming back to your second question was related to PVDF. Okay. Now, PVDF, you said which application? Are you asking about battery application?
Yes, yes. PVDF EV grade as well as PFA semiconductor, when will we see them contributing to our revenue?
By which quarter? When we have product which are developed, okay, and again we are going through the qualification stage, because in PVDF for EV sector also there are multiple grades. It's not one single grade. There are different types of PVDF polymer, and we have capability to develop both. We have developed it, and it's going through the qualification process. Unfortunately, the qualification period is very long. Okay. For one cycle, it's almost 6 months. Okay. That's the situation.
So do you expect this to contribute in FY24 or FY25 only, these two products?
No, I think the qualification will complete by this financial years in both of these products. In fact, PFA, it might happen much earlier. Okay, and in PVDF, I think particularly in the EV application, 6 months approximately from now, and then subsequently ramp up.
Mm-hmm. My second question is on the two parts. So you talked about there will be a shutdown in Q1. So if you can quantify, is it in PTFE or new fluoropolymer, and is it like 10-20% shutdown, or is it like major capacities won't be there? And for how many months also, if you can talk about that.
Not a major few months. It's purely in PTFE, and because it's like annual shutdown that we do for TFEs, so we just wanted to sort of issue a guidance that there'll be a TFE shutdown in this. And there's
okay.
Some
on
PTFE only, not new fluoropolymers.
Yeah, yeah. And on refrigerant gas, you have talked about little subdued demand in Q1. So again, is it like 5-10% kind of subdued, or is it 20-30-40% kind of subdued demand?
You know, refrigerant gases are a cyclical business, Pawan, and it depends a lot on the weather condition. Looking at you saw the temperatures in Delhi lately, and even all over India. So I think overall, the demand depends a lot on the weather conditions. So we expect the demand to be slightly subdued. Now it's difficult for me to how much, but possibly I can say 10%. Maybe I do not know. This is something difficult for us to estimate. It depends on more over the weather conditions.
So, sorry, you are talking mostly on domestic front. Export front, the demand is still okay on refrigerants?
And also, it is demand is slightly subdued, not significantly, and that, I think, is partly going to be seasonal also.
Sure, sir. These were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, we request everybody to please limit your question to two per participant. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Nitesh Dhoot from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, team. Thank you for this opportunity. So my question is that in Arkema's results declared today, they've indicated a rapid normalization of PPF prices in batteries from last year's exceptional prices. Also, another large global player, Dongyi, you know, said that prices of PVDF are unable to maintain at the elevated level. So, when there's the size of Arkema, etc., are hinting at price pressures, I presume they would be taking into consideration the various grades and applications of the polymers. However, what I gather is, you know, we are not seeing any sharp decline in PVDF prices going forward. So just wondering if, you know, that were to happen, whether our profitability could be lower than what you know what we are indicating. I mean, could the 30% margin guidance you know get challenged? Is what my question is.
See, the thing is that right now globally the EV chemicals as well as the PVDF prices are pretty much dependent on the China market. China is today the world's largest market of battery chemicals and EV batteries. So China demand has been subdued, and there's been a slowdown in the EV sales in China, and that essentially has reflected in terms of the overall price situation that you see. In our case, we are not significantly affected at the moment because our EV capacity in PVDF is expected to come up after the qualification by end of this year and early first quarter next year. So coming back to the pricing, we see that this is could be a momentary because there's a long value chain, and you know the industry may have because the EV is on a growth path. Mm-hmm. And it depends on how, which part of the value chain come faster versus later. So I think this is maybe a short-term phenomena, which is expected to get picked up as demand improves of EV in China and EV capacities comes every other places. So, hello.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks, Nitesh. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Good evening and congratulations on a strong set of number. Sir, first is that our understanding is generally what we have seen is that from the product development, then you go to qualification and then you go towards the ramp-up phase and finally commercialization. Generally, the timeline here involved including qualifications and a product development and ramp-up and commercialization finally takes 2 to 3 years and even sometimes may take more. Even you have seen in your journey also in case of PVDF, it has taken a long time. However, in case of battery sort, you're talking about that we are almost skipping a develop, we have already probably developed the product, but we are skipping the ramp-up part and directly going for the commercialization. Even from the qualification point of view also, we are talking about the customer qualification will be as small as maybe 4 to 6 months and we are expecting the revenues to ramp up by end of this year after the planned commercialization happening in a, by Q2 or Q3. What is giving us this confidence that we will be able to ramp up this battery chemicals and maybe so fast? I mean, given our learning curve, what has changed, if you can just give some insights on that, sir?
Rohan, these applications are very different because if I look at, let's say, our fluoropolymer experience or fluoropolymers, they are very small applications and each of these applications has a certain volume, limited volume. In contrast, lithium salt or the battery salt is different. It's a chemical. Once it's qualified, the requirement for each plant is very large. The customer's intake is very, very large. If somebody is having a battery capacity, let's say, of 5 gigawatt hour or 2 gigawatt hour, and the requirements are very large. So it's a different kind of application, different set of requirements. For example, the kind of one customer can take, certain quantities, say 5,000 ton of battery chemical. You would not find any customer taking 5,000 ton of very specialized fluoropolymer.
So you are saying that basically the confidence is coming. Even if you are able to crack one customer, then from himself his requirement will be pretty large. Have you got any such kind of indication? Because you are still in a qualification round only. Yes. So have you been getting the earlier, initiating in earlier signs of the product getting approved? And that's what that as soon as you commercialize your plant and you have to ramp up the production. Is it the case?
The situation, Rohan, is that yes, we are talking to all the players, but unfortunately, we still do not have a material or sample with us. And obviously, the question of the volumes come from once we have material with us and also it gets qualified. Our confidence primarily is coming from the growth in this sector. If you look at our capacity, which is very, very small compared to the growth number that we are talking about, and either globally or even domestic numbers. So there's going to be significant growth in this sector, and that's where our confidence is coming from. And we are, even after commercialization and full capacity utilization, our volumes and the capacity are going to be significantly small compared to the overall market potential.
Okay, so thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you to give me this opportunity. Sir, can we think a good time for fluoro industry is going to end as too much new plants and capacity are coming?
I'm sorry, I did not get your question, Ravi. What did you say? The fluoropolymers, fluorochemicals?
Fluorochemical industry is going to, good time for fluorochemical industry is going to end if too much new plants are coming?
I don't think so, because as I said earlier, there are entire space of energy transition that we are talking about. whether it's a hydrogen economy, EV, solar cells, fuel cells. Each of these applications have requirement for fluoro materials. Okay. So I do not see, if you look at the numbers and compare, the projections for the transition is very, very high. We do not see that happening at all.
Okay. And sir, new age vertical, the electric vehicle battery plant are we are going to install. How much capex need?
Hello?
This vertical electric vehicle battery plant.
Yes, yes, sir.
How much capex we need?
No, for I cannot answer that question about the batteries, what capex is required. But right now, for battery chemicals, it depends on what chemical, what capacity we go. For the capacity that we have announced, we have already indicated for fluoropolymers and battery chemicals, our capex is going to be close to 1,000 crore this year.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thanks. Thanks, Ravi.
Thank you. Participants, a reminder to all of you, please limit your question to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the question queue.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, as you mentioned in earlier conversation, it seems majority of a project likely to contribute from FY25, right? And considering that the plant shut down in Q1 FY24 and some price corrections which likely to remain subdued, so can we assume like FY24 likely to be muted or falling one from the levels of FY23? Like our base is quite high now as compared to earlier years. Sir? Hello.
Yeah, I think somewhere it has been misinterpreted. I think we never said that our FY24 is going to be. We have always maintained that our top line is expected to grow by 20%. So I expect that the number, as we indicated earlier, for example, these capacity eventually to reflect 1,000 to 1,200 crores to top line will continue.
No, I was talking about the bottom line perspective. Like
bottom line is also, you know, we have been maintaining a fairly healthy margin, and we have said that it will probably be around 30% less than which we expect to continue.
Okay, understood, sir. And second thing, sir, do you people witnessing any kind of lack of demand from lithium ion chemical side? Like, I think in SBA controls, we were expected to get some revenues from our battery plants from FY24, right?
Our probably, as we said earlier, that we have indicated that our capacities would come, which is on course and which we expect to get for the salt as well as electrolyte. Our capacity will come on line in basically in quarter two, and then there's a qualification period. So by the end of this financial year, or probably by quarter four, we started seeing the battery chemicals.
Okay, I mean, top line and bottom line both will continue to grow in FY24 onward, right?
That's, yes.
That's it for my sir. Thank you for it.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Yash Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question was regarding the PFAS. We had earlier mentioned that we are going to completely transition by the end of calendar year 23. So, wanted to understand what is the current status right now, yeah, and how many products have been accepted by the customers.
Yeah, I'll let Mr. Soni answer that. Soni, sir, please.
So, regarding the transition from fluorinated polymerization aids to non-fluorinated polymerization aids, we have already converted almost more than 80% of all our fluoropolymers into non-fluorinated polymerization aids. And we expect by end of this financial year, we should be achieving almost complete conversion.
Have the products been started accepted by the customers?
Yes, already few products which have been converted have been in the market for several months now.
Got it, sir. Sir, my second question was regarding our electrolyte business, our battery chemical business. You mentioned earlier that we will ramp up instead of we will commercialize instead of the lab scale and skip the lab scale part. So for commercialization, we will require a significant quantity of lithium carbonate. And we had earlier mentioned that we had a tie-up with, we had basically appointed ENY as a consultant. So what is the status on that at this point of time? Because we will, as we understand, we will require a significant amount of lithium carbonate. Some light on that, sir.
So I think, there are, when we talk about the lithium carbonate procurement, there's a short term versus a long term. In the short term, of course, our capacities are not much and our requirements are not much. And we have been already discussing with ENY and connecting with some of the global suppliers for tie-up in the long term. So that has not yet completely closed. But in terms of short term, we have the required volumes or the our short term requirement has already been tied up. We do not see any issue with that.
So it is safe to assume that the short term supply will be enough to ramp up your electrolyte salt business, right?
Do not see that an issue yet. Absolutely.
Okay, got it. Sir, last one, clarification question from my end. I'm sorry if I missed it earlier. What is the quantum of guarantees left from Inox Wind?
Yeah, I'll let Manoj, can you answer that? Quantum of guarantees.
I don't have that number readily available with me. We'll, after the call, we'll...
you can connect Yash with Manoj.
Vibhu will tell you.
Perfect, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rahul Bira from Abacus. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. In our notes to accounts, there has been one of the points which mentioned that there will be an 18 crore commission which is supposed to be put up during our AGM for some executive, non-executive director. So may we know what exactly the commission is for and who is the non-executive director?
This is part of the, which is part of the remuneration which is paid to the MD and chairman, but as a part of the secretarial procedure that has to be put up for the approval at the AGM also. That's what that note is given.
Okay. Fair point, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Rahul. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks a lot. I would like to thank all of you for showing interest in GFL and asking questions. So any further questions, I would request all of you to please be in touch with our communication person, Mr. Vibhu Agarwal. And I would like to thank you all once again. And thanks, Archit.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.